this is the point at which everything falls off the table. Well, when Richard and Eric asked me to speak, which was back in November, on this first Sunday, they gave me sort of several titles that I should sort of think about. One was a call to action. One was a challenge for the new year. Something about commitment. But I thought, well, I wonder what your expectations are. If you were to say, if I was to ask you what you'd like me to speak on, because it's what I say, they didn't give me a Bible reference or anything, they just left it open, you know. So, I mean, I could start with Genesis 1:1 and work through the Word, you know, just keep on going, you know. And I just want to check, you know, because I could go on for several hours. So I just want you to check that there's nobody sitting in any of the windows. Somebody did pray this morning that nobody would go to sleep. But you'll see where I'm coming from in that, because I want to say, well, what do you expect from the coming year? What are your expectations for what this coming year will bring? When I was asked, I was actually reading through the book of Acts. And I'd read it once, and as you do, I'm reading through it again. And I'd just come across a short passage in the book of Acts that I hadn't noticed when I read through before. And it's strange that these sort of passages stand out to you when before you've just read over them and just taken them for granted. Oh, I'm not the only one that has these sort of experiences. Oh, that's great. Perhaps it's just me, you know. I'm getting a bit old now, and the grey cells don't remember the things quite as well. But this was the passage that stood out to me. And if you want to open your Bibles at Acts chapter 5, and we're going to read from verse 12. Now, I'm not going to apologise for having no notes, no overhead pictures, right? Because I want us to concentrate on what the Word is telling us this morning. Right? It's not that I couldn't have produced marvellous pictures and super things and everything else, but I want us to concentrate on what the Word is telling us, what the Word is speaking to us. Now, many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. Now, a portico is the Greek word is stoa. That was a passageway that was open on one side with columns and covered at the top and the other side, and it was like a colonnade, and that was where they all gathered. None of the rest dared join them, but the people held them in high esteem, and more than ever believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. I want you to notice four things about this passage. First of all, that there were many signs and wonders being done. Healings, signs, wonders, miracles. That was the standard thing for the early church. It wasn't the exception. And praise God for Trevor's testimony this morning about it. You know, my expectation is when I come next week, I will hear about somebody else being prayed for and healed. Right? And the next week, and the next week, and the week after that. That's how it don't work like that, Mick. But why shouldn't it? See, our problem is, do we get our expectations to such a point where if we have one in a year, we're happy? That's not what it should be. Right? We should be expecting people to be healed because God is a God who heals, and signs and wonders and miracles. That is what the reality of the church should be. And if we make it any less than that, then we're demeaning what God intended for his church to be. Signs and wonders, they were regular. Secondly, you will notice that believers were added to the church. That's marvellous, isn't it? And it says here they added one every week. Sorry, I couldn't read that properly then. It says multitudes. And it wasn't only the men, it was the women as well. Right? I'm expecting that God will bring people into his kingdom. Right? That God will bring people into his kingdom. That we will see multitudes brought into his kingdom. Now, the fourth thing is, why do you want me to do the third one? I was going to skip that. Well, I'll do the third one then. There was something funny about Peter's shadow. I was just looking. I've got a slight shadow behind me. There was something funny about Peter's shadow. Have you noticed that? Because people were after Peter's shadow. Good job it wasn't Peter Pan. Right? But they were after Peter's shadow. Because God's power was at work through being associated with God's people. By association, God's power was at work. Now, can you imagine, right, that you go home and somebody's ill, sick in bed, and don't feel like moving, perhaps they've got the runs or something, and you say, I'm just going to carry you outside. Don't take them outside. Well, I'm just going to take you outside. No, you don't, I'm ill. But I just want this person's shadow to fall. You what? No, you cannot be serious about that. You know, I'm ill. get someone to come. But no, just come and have this shadow pass over you. You see, the sick were healed as his shadow passed out. So, but I ask the question, why did they carry the sick into the streets on cots and mats? Just to get Peter's shadow pass over them. You can imagine the physicians of the day declaring that they'd all gone mad, right, at this. Why did they do it? Because they got great expectation that God would heal. And it's that one phrase, great expectation, that came to me from this passage. The people in Jerusalem and the surrounding district had great expectations that God was at work and that God was healing people and there were signs and miracles and peoples were being added to the Lord. Now I wonder what, I start off by asking what your expectation would be for the coming year. And I wonder where you set the level. Because we all do. We all set the level. Perhaps we set it as well, you know, last year wasn't too bad. Perhaps we can just carry on as we are for this year. I'm sorry, that's not how God works. If you set it as the same as last year, that's what you'll get. We've all got to lift the bar higher. We've all got to lift to that place where we expect God to do great things. If you don't expect God to do great things, guess what? He won't. It's where our level of expectation is, where our level of belief, where our level of faith is. And then I thought, why did it happen? Why was all this taking place? Why were those people being healed? Why were the signs and miracles taking place? And if you just go back a little bit, we read this in chapter 4. We find that the believers, it says in my thing, the believers prayed for boldness. Right? It says, and now look upon their, verse 29, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. And they're, speaking the word. But he doesn't stop there. While you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Okay, and he says, and when they prayed, the place was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They prayed for signs and wonders and healings. And that got me thinking that for great expectation, it's vital that we have great prayer. It's vital that we have great prayer and expect God to answer. Now, when I'd thought upon this, the very next day, I read something in the Word for Today. And it's good the way God sort of reinforces. You have a word and you think, well, is it the right one? Is it the sort of thing I should talk about? And then I had this the next day. And it was, Lord, teach me to pray. And it was from the thing, Jesus spent the night praying. And this was part of what it said. One Bible teacher writes, I have gone from labouring and striving to pray for 5 minutes every few days to enjoying and actually personally needing and wanting beginning my day with prayer, then to praying throughout the day as things come to my heart, and finally ending my day communicating with the Lord as I fall asleep. I have moved from a sporadic, irregular prayer life to regular times of prayer that are disciplined without being legalistic. Where I once thought I was fulfilling an obligation to God by praying, I now realise that I absolutely cannot survive a day and be satisfied if I do not pray. I realise that prayer is a great privilege, not a duty. I no longer approach God in fear, wondering if he will really hear me and send an answer to my prayers. I now approach him boldly, as his word teaches me to do, and with great expectation. Do we approach God with great expectation? How big is our God? Because sometimes I think we have him in a miniature box, right? Who just produces small answers for small prayers. Where we need a God that produces big answers to big prayers. The expected things were healings and signs and wonders. Do we pray expecting healings, signs and wonders? I pray, but do I really expect it? And I have to question myself here. My level of faith, my level of belief. Because we get into a rut where things just carry on the way they were or the way they are. And we're comfortable in that. The early believers were not comfortable. Things happened, right? And it got them out of their comfort zone. If we want a comfortable thing, then we stop in our houses. If we want something different to happen, you move out so the shadow passes over. So I got to thinking, was this just a one-off? Or was it part of a pattern of things that should take place? And when I started to look at the Bible, I started to find all other places where there were great expectations of what God could do. And I went back to the Gospels and I found lots in there. Right? And also in the Acts. In other words, hang on, I could speak on each one of these that I find, or I could be there for a couple of hours. So now you've got to limit yourself, you know, otherwise I will have them fall into sleep. So I've just picked three. Okay, so let's go back to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, and in that it's the story of Jesus calling the first disciples. And Jesus had gone into a boat, and he'd pushed off from the shore because there was a large crowd there, and he was teaching the people. And when he'd finished teaching the people, he said to the fisherman whose boat he got into, give him quarters. Put out your nets for a catch. What would you do in a fishing boat? Put out your nets for a catch. Just a moment, says the fisherman. Look, we're the fishermen here. We've been fishing all night and haven't caught a thing. We're water whacked. Right? We know about fishing. But hang on, I've been listening to your teaching. I've been listening to what you say. So at your word, I'll put out the net. And of course we know the story, wouldn't it? Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. he'd listened to what Jesus said. So he prepared to put out his nets in great expectation that he would catch fish, despite the knowledge, the physical knowledge, that he worked all night and caught nothing. That's what the Word of God can transform our thinking to. It takes what we know and realise the practical and moves it into the supernatural to expect God to do the supernatural. Now, he had to call for his friends to get all these fish into the boats because the net was breaking. Then he suddenly realised what's happening. And he says that the fish were that many, the boats were near sinking. So you got all these fish flapping around in the boats, right? Jesus sitting there in the back with all the fish around his feet. Peter gets down on his knees in the fish, right? Right? When he realises just what happened. And that was a life-transforming moment for Peter. And great expectations means that we'll see life-transforming moments when people meet with Jesus. Have you got great expectations for the coming year? And as I looked through the Gospels, there were lepers who came and just waited for Jesus. There were those who were ill, right, who were just waiting for Jesus, because they got great expectations. They believed what he could do. Is that where we are? If not, is it your desire that you're going to be in that place this year? When you've got great expectations for what God will do. Right, let's move across. My next one is found in Acts chapter 3. Read the first bit here. And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Right? This man had really good friends. Think about it. Every day they went to this man who had been lame from birth, and they took him and they carried him to the road just outside the beautiful gate, right? And they took him and they put him there, and at the end of the day, pick him up and carry him back. And this happened every day. Yeah, what marvellous friends he got, hadn't he? Yeah. I really admire them because, you know, we're in a position now where we're looking after Mom. And it's so great when somebody comes for the day and we get a bit of free moment to ourselves, Pam and I. But these people, every day, they were really friends to this man. And he just hoped he would get money so that he could feed himself and help his family. But we read on. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and he said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. What was his expectation? His expectation was a coin. It was a bit of money. But Peter said, "I have no silver or gold." Can you imagine? You know. Here we go again. I get it off most of the people. You see, when we went out to the Holy Land and we walked up to the, wasn't the beautiful gate, it was the Lion Gate. There were little children there who were trying to sell us things. And, you know, we were told that we shouldn't buy anything off them. So you just go, no, 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 no. And they walk past them and then they run round in front of you again. You know. And I said, we went through the gate and you look back and the boarding fighters, you know, they ain't bought anything off us. And I can imagine that first thing, his heart sank within him that, you know, he's not going to get anything. And then it says, But, what I do have, and that's a great but in the Bible. It's a good thing to study sometimes, some of the buts in the Bible. Right? But, what I do have, I'm going to give to you. I imagine he perked up at that. Oh. Perhaps it's a coat I can sell or something like that. Yeah. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And we know that after that he went leaping and praising, you know the old Sunday school song, you know, leaping and praising God into the temple there. But what I'm trying to get over here was that sometimes we can be in the place like that lame man where all we're looking for is arms. We have an expectation, but that's all we're looking for. We're looking for it at that level. Peter had a great expectation because he could see what the man really wanted, and he knew that God had power to raise him so that he could walk. And so he took hold of his hand and told him to get up. And you can imagine what it was like. This man suddenly got to his feet. He had no physiotherapy or anything. He could suddenly leap about and walk and run. You know, I can imagine by the end of the day he was hoarse, shouting it up about what God had done. But there was a great expectation came upon the people. And sometimes I wonder if we're working at that place of arms when we should be working at that place of great expectation. We should be working at that place where we lift people up so that they're in that place of great expectation. Do we perceive what people really want? What he really wanted was not arms, but was to walk. What people really want are a handout, but a new life. That's what people really need. Finally, my third little one is Acts chapter 19. And we read in the first couple of verses. And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and evil spirits came out of them. Now, can you imagine? Somebody's sick, right? And news of it gets to Paul. And Paul says to one of his helpers, hang on, just take this to them. What? It's snot rag. I'm going to tell you, it's snot rag. That's more likely to make them ill than well. But you see, there was power in what God wanted to do. Paul had got great expectations of what God could do. And we read that he took the aprons and the handkerchiefs and took them, and people were healed and people saw God at work. And my expectation for this new year is that we will see God at work. Right, so Richard, Eric, please make sure he's clean handkerchiefs. And when I see you in an apron, oh. But that should be our expectation, shouldn't it? That when we pray for these things, when we ask God for these things, we have great expectations that God is going to do it. God is going to do it. I believe this is a year for great expectations. You see, my mind went to, as I do thinking along that way, to Charles Dickens and the book he did, Great Expectations. And I thought about Pip, and he had an unknown benefactor, didn't he? Who was Lady Hampshire. Eventually did find out who his benefactor was. But you see, we don't have a benefactor who is unknown. And he's not a lady, it's a lord. We have somebody who has limitless resources available to us. And as such, the challenge for us and the call for us is to rise to that level of great expectations. The picture I got from Acts chapter 2 was that there was a social action. They carried the man to the thing, to the gate. But there's also a faith action, which was Peter stretching forth his hand to lift them up. I'm glad Peter did that. Right? Because he didn't just stand there and say, get up. Right? He actually participated in the great expectation, in the faith, to know that God healed that man. You see where I'm coming from? It was a faith action. Not just a faith word. But it was a faith. If our faith doesn't push us, our great expectation doesn't push us to making an action, then we've stopped with just an expectation, not a great expectation. Oh, I'll pray for it. And I'll leave it there. Now our prayers should push us to that place where we act. Because then we're showing God that we do have that great expectation that he will work in our lives. Are you satisfied with 2012? I've got some shaking heads. That's good. None of us should be satisfied with 2012. Because we should be always expecting God to do greater things. If you're satisfied, then, sorry, get home, get before God, right? And say to him, I'm sorry that I've come to the place where I'm satisfied with what you're doing. Right? I want to be in that place of great expectations. So, where does that leave us? Where does that take us this morning? Well, first of all, I want to encourage you that we can all be people of great expectations. It's not just for the leaders, and this is going to come next week. I don't know what they've got for us, but I'm sure there will be a certain sense of where God wants to take us. Right? I hope there will be. Right? I hope, in a way, the picture and expectation that they have is above my expectation, so they will lift me to that level, and then somebody else will lift us to a higher level, that we expect God to work in such marvellous ways. But sometimes we can feel that we're unable to handle that. Right? It's all right for them, but it's not for me. We feel inadequate to be in that place. And I want to ask you this morning, if it's your heart's desire to be in that place of great expectation, right? But you feel inadequate, you feel as though you can't get into that place, then I want to pray for you. Because prayer does marvellous things. I have great expectations that prayer will do marvellous things. Right? The leaders here will pray for you. Right? That you're in that place where you're expecting God to do great things. Now, of course, if you're expecting God to do great things, you're going to have the great things in mind that he's going to do. It's no good just saying, oh, I expect God to do great things, airy-fairy, up in the sky. So we have to put our mind to work at what can you think God could do? Then think what he might do. Then think what it's, well, highly unlikely, but he might do. And then you've got to your great expectation. It's easy to think on the mundane level. We've got to think on a higher level. We've got to move our mindset to that place where God is doing great things. You've all gone quiet on me. Now, give you 2 points. One, I've not mentioned gardening. Two, I can't see a glum face in the place. God is not a God of glum. God is a God of enjoyment. God is a God of challenge. Today, I challenge you to have great expectations of what God is going to do. And not only to have a mind of great expectations, but to have some faith action. Right? God lays it on your heart about something. Do something about it. Act upon what God wants you to do, so that you can be part of fulfilling his great expectation. God has got great expectations about you. He could see what we could do. Right? All it requires is for us to move up to his level. Let us move to his level for his praise and his glory. Can we have finish with a song? I'm just going to pray and then we'll finish with a song. Heavenly Father, I just thank you if we just think about the expectation of what you can do, then that is grace. Heavenly Father, help us to move to that place where our expectations don't sell you short. Where our expectations of what you can do are great. When we know that you are going to deal mightily with us to performing healings, signs, miracles, wonders, and multitudes being added to the church. That's the place where we want to be, Lord. That's the place where people will stand in awe with their mouth open at what you are doing. And we want to partner with you in that, Lord. We want to be in that place where we have that faith action to bring that into being. Thank you, God, that you want to work through us so much to bring this into a reality in this year. Heavenly Father, as we close now, I just pray your blessing upon your people. I just repeat again, if there are those that require prayer, if you want to commit yourself to great expectations, then please feel free to come forward, feel free to ask for prayer, because God wants to work in our lives.